Is it always good to remember the past? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Mathilde Frey, professor of Old Testament in the Walla Walla University School of Theology, and I'm your host and study guide author. We again continue the series on present truth in Deuteronomy, and the topic today is Remember, Do Not Forget. My conversation partners are Jody Washburn, Professor of Old Testament in the Walla Walla University School of Theology, and Alden Thompson, Emeritus Professor of Old Testament from the Walla Walla University School of Theology. Is it always good to remember the past?
Well, in Scripture, you can get two different passages, and I didn't take time to look them up. But one says, forgetting those things which are behind. And the other one says, you must remember. So you have a choice, Matilda. Which one would you choose?
The Old Testament has the word remember all written over it. So it's a big word there in the Torah, especially, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And for us as Seventh-day Adventists, it's the word that takes us to the Sabbath. So remember is something special, and it calls to bring back memory, bring back stories, but these are stories of other people. Mm-hmm. And now what do we do with them? Maybe that's the question in the question about remembering, right?
Well, there are certainly our memories that are wonderful that you want to retain. There are other memories that are very painful, and these are the ones that we're inclined to to set aside. Although hopefully, if it's a painful memory, and there are things that we need to learn from it, hopefully we can learn from it before we set it aside.
Mm-hmm. There's a scholar that I've only recently heard of, but his name is Peter Levine, and he talks about trauma as elements from our past, from our story, like it's not necessarily what happened to us, but the reason it's stored as trauma, right? It's painful, is because it's happening without the presence of an empathetic witness, mm-hmm. someone who can be there, you know, human to human to process that painful event with you. And I think, you know, Alden mentioned, you know, great memories, we celebrate our identity, who we are. You can think of a tree, right? That it wouldn't even stand without all the roots, right? And we need all of that, but I'm starting to see so much of the processing, because the Bible, I mean, this is something that it actually makes it stand out as a literary work, is that it does not hide the pain and the unresolved conflict and the really troubling, sometimes downward turn of heroes, right? Mm-hmm. Who behave badly, right? And it doesn't hide that. And you just have all these ways in which the biblical text almost invites that witness, right? To allow the stories to be seen so that they can be brought in and woven into the sort of bigger picture of who this people is. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, researchers looking at this now are saying that bringing together, right, of the great memories and the really painful one, the ones that we would rather not think about, the bringing together of that is then what equips us to move forward without causing more pain, right, which without without wanting to, but we repeat those past patterns, mm-hmm. right? So I it's just fascinating to see why. There have to be many layers to why we're asked to remember the good, the bad, the in-between.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had a reference here to the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy. Now, the word remember is linked with the Sabbath command in Exodus, mm-hmm. but not in Deuteronomy. But the word remember does come up in the Sabbath commandment. It says, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So an important point to remember in their history.
Oh, and that makes me think about, we've already spoken about freedom here and there mm-hmm. in previous lessons and what that means. But like Dan Allender has done a lot of work with what's accomplished for healing in Christian life when you really sit with your own story, all of it, not just the really great parts, but all of your story. And he talks about how if you want to create a different future, you actually must have the courage to look at the past.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if some of the freedom that comes, because think of the trajectory, right? In the New Testament, what the people are invited into is to truly embrace an overturning of all the dominant systems, the idea of power and what that means, and authority, and even the purpose of human life, right? To overturn these assumptions. And seems that without looking at our past, we're not able to move then into this new future.
To remember that you were slaves, to remember that painful story,
yeah.
Right? Is it because then when you know that, when you remember that, that is what you are able to like give to the person who comes next and finds them, and you find them in that same place, and you want to make sure that that person does not have to experience what you went through. That is a theme, especially in the book of Exodus, and it comes here in Deuteronomy as well, because you were there now, and you know what that meant. You experienced those times in slavery. So you know what it means for a person who is in that position right now. And that's why you now should be able to extend that freedom, especially in view of Sabbath, right? That that release from that oppression in that case. I do find it interesting that before in the Bible, like if you read it sequentially, before we are asked to remember our story, God is remembering. It says about four times, God remembered Noah, mm-hmm. God remembered Abraham yeah. and Rachel and so on. So when God remembers, what happens?
He acts.
Yes. So remember is not just a mental process. Remember results in active intervention, right? So there is a divine act that comes when God remembers. So could that be that is called also on us to do that, to remember and to be able to act in that way?
It strikes me that, because you referenced that over and over, right? You must do well for the foreigner and the widow and the orphan. And many times when the foreigner is mentioned, right, the rationale is because you were. Mm-hmm. Same like you were a slave in Egypt. Now you mm-hmm. are being called to freedom, right? There's a resonance between.
Yeah.
And it makes me think about, as hard as it can be to wrap our minds around this, there's a point in most people's journeys where we go from seeing some of the painful parts of our past as a liability to seeing it as something that enriches us, that adds a dimension to our story that wouldn't be there otherwise. And one example of that is depression. There's a tendency, right, if you've gone through life feeling no weight over you, just, oh, I'm fine, I'm great, then it might be easy to say, well, oh, it's all in your head. Once you've felt the weight, once you've not been able to get out of bed and you've struggled to show up and do your work and function and all of that, then down the road you encounter someone who's in that space. And I can tell you don't look at them and say, oh, it's all in your head. You, mm-hmm. there's a depth there. Because you have seen your own story, you can actually see theirs.
Yes. And I do love that small verse in Exodus 23 where it says, you make sure that you treat the stranger right, because you were the stranger, you were the Hagar.
Yes.
And you know the life, you know the nefesh of the stranger, right? So you know all of it, not just a mind memory.
You know it, like you deep, know it experientially. Deep down. Yes.
And that is so goes so deep to the roots of that big theme in Deuteronomy about caring for people on the margins like that, because you were one of them. And in one other passage, it speaks even, you see, we always come back in Deuteronomy to the story of Hagar and Abraham. And in one passage, and I can't tell you right now where it is, but in one place it goes so far to recognize Abraham himself being the Hagar.
Yeah.
So he has he sent her out. We think of Hagar as the name, but that's not her name. She never had a name. She was the stranger all the time. And then at some point, Abraham recognizes that actually he is Hagar himself in his life. And that is the call that God gives to the people, mm-hmm. because you know that kind of life. So you make sure that it never happens to someone else.
And that knowing mm-hmm. is a protection against dehumanization.
Yes.
You know, Matilda, you added in your study guide a passage from Ephesians, which is mm-hmm. intriguing, because Paul tells the Ephesians, so then remember, and this is Ephesians 2:11 and following, remember, that at one time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who call the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise. So that remembering when you were outside the circle becomes a way of enhancing the meaning and the gratitude now that you find yourself within the covenant. I think that's crucial. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it follows the same line with the Apostle Paul in that tradition of memory and remembrance, that life before and now the gift that you have at this point. Thank you so much for this lesson. Thank you to my conversation partners, Jody Washburn and Alden Thompson, and to our program engineer, Samuel Schaffner, and to all of you who are listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Matilda Frey.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.